Yeah, you are. Planet Earth alone. Because I'm coming for you.
Redemption, Prime. Do you?
My maker. I do.
And your world will be reborn. Nemesis Prime.
I will fight anyone who stands in my way.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
Oh, I'm Chris.
There you go. Yeah, you are.
Yeah. Last I remembered.
There you go. All right. So, we're back again with another episode. This is actually a follow-up of our last episode we did. It was episode number 75. I went back to the numbering system. where we did the long-awaited... never anticipated episode of the Bayformers movies.
Yes. You know?
But when we recorded that one, the newest movie, The Last Knight, the fifth movie in the installment, that was about to come out. Mm-hmm. And we said, damn it, Chris.
We're optimistic. Cautiously.
We've learned a lesson. If you go back, if you haven't done so already, go back and listen to the last episode where we kind of give our takes. We don't recap all the movies, but we just kind of give, you know, two good things, two bad things about each movie, and we kind of go from there. Now, this being the case, this is kind of a sequel, if you will, to that episode. We both saw the newest movie, The Last Knight.
I saw it twice.
You saw it twice, and I probably should have, but goddamn, it was man.
I got three words for you that are gonna title this episode.
Okay.
Adrenaline fueled boredom.
Ooh. Adrenaline fueled boredom.
Yes.
That's a lot going on, not going anywhere type thing. Yeah. All right. So, for you folks listening right now, if you did listen to the last episode, thank you so much for downloading. If you download this episode, tell your friends if you're liking what we're doing. And I think we're
going to... I promise we talk more than just Transformers. It's just the timing.
Yeah, the timing.
10-year anniversary of the first Transformers
movie.
Yeah.
And coming up, I think we'll be doing maybe a Spider-Man episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to...
There's an empty chair over there for somebody, looks like.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Maybe. So, but that's going forward. That was past. We're now. We're going to do this episode. So, where do you want to start with the... and before we get started... we will be doing spoilers, so...
You've had more than enough time.
If you've seen the movie, you like the movie, you've seen the movie. If you're on the fence, I don't know what will make you be on the fence, but we're going to be talking about it in-depth with spoilers, so you've been warned now. So, that being said, Chris, you want to go first, or however you want to do this?
You know what? I like the flow we had for the last episode, where you have the pros... the bots and the cons.
The bots and the cons?
Yeah.
That should have been the theme.
So, you know what?
We should have used that as a theme.
I'm going to start off with a pro.
A pro, huh?
Yeah. One of the biggest things that enticed me on this was that this movie was filmed completely in IMAX.
Okay.
So, they suckered me.
They got my money.
Okay. My first viewing was in IMAX.
Okay.
Sweet mother of God, it was beautiful.
IMAX 3D.
IMAX 3D.
So the big glasses.
Yeah, glasses on top of my big glasses.
How'd that work? Because if you people don't know, he's got some big ass glasses.
Yeah, these Oakley Holbrooks. They're not. They're big.
Yeah. Like a Buick windshield, man.
Yeah. It was beautiful, man. Some of those shots. You know how Bay likes to make every shot important and all the panning and everything?
In his own mind, everything is epic. In his own mind,
every scene has to matter.
Yeah.
But good Lord, some of those shots were just so awe-inspiring to watch. It's one thing, we've made the complaint / observation of a lot of Michael Bay's movies, whether you like them or you don't. A lot of times, you're just there to visually be stunned. Mm-hmm. At whatever you see on the screen that Michael Bay puts on the plate for your eyes to have. And I think nothing in his record movie career is going to top the visuals that this whole thing looks in IMAX. It's stunning, dude. You can hate the movie all you want if you want to.
You're just talking visually. Yeah.
It's so pretty.
Well, I kind of...
And that's also a tip to the cap to the guys that because again, if you're gonna when you have 4K or 3D or super duper IMAX, you're gonna see every single nuance, every single detail. So if you look at a trailer on TV or on YouTube, and you already see like the graphics of some of these robots are not complete, or the shading's not right, or it just looks bland, you're gonna notice mistakes from a mile away when you're watching this movie in IMAX.
Right.
And to their credit, the guys that were in charge of doing the special effects, it looked
so.
Sweet.
Is there? Let me ask you this: is there a was there a certain scene in particular? Was it a scenery that got your attention, or is it just like a certain shot of something? What's your first go-to reaction?
My first go-to is like, the complaints are going to be the comparisons are going to be made later on in the movie in this podcast from me.
Probably me
about
too.
Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad, whether it's in the story or whether how it was presented. So when you think of those movies, you think of black and white, dark, no light, no color, just grim.
Grim.
So seeing the brightness, all the colors of the rainbow, all six colors of the Skittles bag, everything coming out in the screen.
Pops.
Vivid. Pops. Man. It's like staring to a kaleidoscope almost as far as how clean everything looked. And that just, again, that just... the visuals, like
looking, and then it blows it all up,
like looking like the panoramic view of Stonehenge, or looking at Cybertron floating down, or oh my god, the transformation of Hot Rod, Lamborghini Centurion, dude, everything just looked so clear and colorful and bright and gorgeous.
All right, so you liked it because you liked it because it was pretty.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Which also leads to my first con, because the second time I saw this, I saw it in regular definition.
Regular definition?
Yeah. In human D, not 3D.
Just regular digital.
Yeah, regular digital.
Yeah.
I could not understand why the aspect ratios were changing so often during the movie.
Because not all scenes were filmed in IMAX, probably. Sometimes they get like...
That's not what the commercial for the movie said.
Well,
completely in IMAX 3D.
I don't know.
So then when I'm watching this and like the aspect ratio is the full screen and then letterbox and then full screen and then like halfway letterbox, then full screen. It was like every 45 seconds it changed.
45 seconds? Come on now, Chris.
Dude.
I don't know about...
It changed a lot, man.
I didn't notice that on my viewing. Maybe it had something to do with your... Deer Theater or something, but I didn't notice anything aspect changes online.
Really? Because no. I've frequented a couple of Transformers message boards the week that I saw this movie in the beginning, and there were a lot of other people. Oh, yeah, sure, of course. It's called research. Okay. Don't let these glasses fool you.
Oh, then I got a whole room full of research.
Grand Maester over here. Yeah. Dude, a lot of people did notice the fact that the aspect ratios were changing so much on the regular digital, as opposed to like...
I'll take your word for it. I only saw it the one time, and they didn't get my money for IMAX, so I just did regular viewing.
Oh, I just had the word sucker written on my forehead, apparently.
Yeah, it's on your glasses, too.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's what Oakley spells out?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Give me a pro. Do you have a pro?
I have a page full of notes. And I have to actually scroll around to see a pro. I think I have one here. You want to hear what my pro is?
Go for it.
Cogman. Cogman.
Whatever. Really?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't get the voice actor, the guy who played the voice for him. But he was... Maybe because of the other competition in the movie, he kind of stood out to me as being a pro as opposed to a con in this movie. But I liked the writing on him, the sense of humor that he had, and the delivery of... now, there's some cons about him, about his, what he is in the movie, which leads into some other cons. It's like a whole...
It's like you can't even have a pro without a bunch of cons in it, right?
Yeah. So...
Apparently he was supposed to be a headmaster.
Yeah,
but he didn't.
He's head introduced. Anything. He's introduced by Anthony Hopkins, which that's.
We'll get there in a second.
Yeah,
Cogman.
Yeah. So yeah, he's introduced as a headmaster, and I'm like, okay, cool. We're gonna see, you know, because when you say headmaster to a Transformer, you know, like you should as a Transformers fan, you know that means heads come off. They transform into little robots.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. So we never saw that in the movie, unless I missed it. You saw it twice. Let me ask you this. He was driving a car. He was driving a silver car. Was he in the car? Was he the head? Was that the head that transformed into himself? And then the car was him, his body?
No.
Okay. Because I was confused about
that. He was chauffeuring the car when...
Okay. That's what I was gathering. And there's another scene where he's flying a plane, a silver... plane.
Yeah, he was not the plane.
Okay. We never saw him transform.
They didn't give... I was never given any evidence to show that he was the plane.
Twice viewing.
Yeah.
You saw it twice. Okay, because that was one of the reasons I meant to go watch it again. I just never did, because I was thinking, well, maybe I missed something.
All right, so if we're going to get to it, the whole... Everything, like if you're looking at Ancestry.com, everything starts at the beginning. So the biggest flaw where everything branches out of is that there was so much potential with the way this movie started. They gave us Cybertron. They gave us Quintessa. They gave us a headmaster. They gave us Hot Rod that we've been waiting for since like the first movie.
I'll get to that later.
You know? So they had all this, they gave us Nemesis Prime. There was so many old school references that a guy that not only has been watching from the first Transformers movie, but guys that have been watching the cartoon from the 80s were already going like, oh my God, they're setting up the foundation for this to be awesome. And there was so much potential, and they didn't do anything with it.
Here's my thing. And this goes back to another con, but I think I found a new way, a good way of connecting all this. One of the issues that I had was the writing in general. Okay, in our last episode, I said that the writer from 2 to 4, Aaron, I can't remember his last name, Aaron Kruger. He was brought in for part 2 to fill in for the writer strike and everything. But part 3 and 4, that was his. He wrote all that.
His baby.
It flows very... I thought those two episodes flow very well for me. This movie. The writing for me just felt like all over the place. And this was when they were bringing in... This is Hasbro's decision for Hasbro Studios to start laying the foundations of a new cinematic universe for all their properties.
Oh, they did.
But here's the thing. I didn't feel like these writers actually knew what to do with the Transformers property, because you just said it just a second ago. You said Headmaster, Quintessa, Cybertron, Unicron, Nemesis Prime, and I think that's all the notes that the writers got in the writing room. It's like, okay, we have all this stuff. We need to talk about all this stuff, because clearly they don't know what they're talking about. Because Headmaster, you say he's a Headmaster. Well, what is that? I don't know. Because it wasn't shown in the movie. I just know that he's called a headmaster for some reason, that he doesn't transform, his head doesn't come off.
Number one, even if you're a casual viewer that just watches a Transformers movie, has no idea of cartoons or comics or anything, there was not even an explanation to what a headmaster was.
Right, he just said it. It was an off thing.
Like if it was just an Easter egg for people that wore glasses.
Right. He said headmaster, so I should like that. Yeah. Quintessa. Oh, there's Quintessons, right? Well, let's keep Quinn. If we say Quinn, the fans will know that that's the creators, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they're like taking pieces of what is known in the whole property, in the franchise, and they're just kind of like throwing it in there randomly without any substance, you know? They had, I kind of want to say this is kind of a pro, but I thought there was some potential with the story that they're trying to tell. I think they had some good ideas, but the...
Dude, right here under my last pro, substance/potential with all the references, yeah, not to the cartoon movie lore.
Like, it just, like, the it didn't come, it wasn't presented correctly, or it wasn't, it just kind of fell apart in the way it was all put together.
Yeah.
And I said that from jump, dude. Like, even if you remember when the trailers started coming out, I said, dude, this movie looks all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a small bit of the doubt. Maybe it's not as bad, spread out all over the place, like the trailer makes it out to be. But, man, it was, dude. It was just all over the place.
Not only was it all over the place with all the potential and it didn't bear any fruit, the things that did happen, there wasn't even time to digest anything that happened.
Right.
Holy shit, oh my God, my 8-year-old's marking the fuck out because I just saw Optimus Prime go heel. He's Nemesis Prime. Holy fuck. They actually did a decent job of making a believable storyline of how we got Nemesis Prime. Awesome. What are you gonna do with it? Nothing. He was on Optimus Prime, the machine, was on the screen for about a total of maybe 10 to 12 minutes. He was an awesome badass for 45 seconds.
You know what took, you know what stopped him?
Martha!
No.
Yeah, oh, I was about to say that, you son of a bitch!
he Martha'd him.
Oh, fuck.
And how did Bumblebee get his voice back anyways? I thought that was a whole plot point earlier on in the movie.
So I'm thinking they might have, I think they dropped this in the very beginning, that the staff was forged of Solus or something, or Quintessa probably said it, that's what rebuilds, that regenerates life. And since Optimus had it in his pocket and he was near Bumblebee, that was because Bumblebee goes back to the radio stuff when they're apart. But when Optimus and Bumblebee are fighting in that close range, that's when Bumblebee's able to talk. Even towards the end, when Optimus kills Bumblebee shoots Quintessa, they're near each other, near the staff, and Bumblebee drops that 4-year-old tagline, "Sting like a bee."
Oh yeah,
because he's near it.
Forgot about that.
So at least I got that.
That was not made clear to me.
Well, actually, a lot of shit wasn't made clear to a lot of people because from what I was told or from what I've researched, there was apparently an app. A Transformers app. So, you know, like the first couple of movies, they made prequel comics.
Right.
Well, for this one, you had to have the app and, like, research all this stuff and learn it on your own. Otherwise, you wouldn't know half the shit that was in this movie.
Yeah.
Which, again, I call bullshit because a movie should be able to stand on its own two legs without the help of anything.
Right.
The prequel comics in the first two or three movies helped
Those
are more sides to the main course.
Yeah.
This was like you're not even sitting on the table with silverware. You have everything in your hands. Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
And it just, damn. The biggest complaint, the biggest worry I had when we did the last episode was all I need is 30 seconds. Someone explain to me how the fuck we get Megatron on my screen.
That was on my notes
and
too.
I waited 2 hours and 15 minutes and still got no explanation. If anybody listening or anybody that watched the movie or any Transformers geek is going to tell me, bro, download the app, I'm going to tell them, bro, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because I did not pay about $20 within two viewings for someone to tell me, oh, you had to pregame this shit by reading the fucking app.
Thanks, Capcom.
No. No.
Yeah.
That don't fly.
No,
That was not made clear to me either. And then the supplementary, how did Bumblebee become a transforming Creo?
Oh, yeah. That never happened before.
No. Never. No. Again, no 30-second explanation. No.
It just happened.
No team from Mask like got their hands on Bumblebee and turned him into whatever he is to build up the storyline for Mask with TRF. No. No build up with the Visionaries on how Optimus just randomly floated into space. No build up with My Little Pony with all this horse shit that was on the screen for like an hour and a half.
Ugh.
The first 45 minutes of this movie was actually fun. Regardless if I knew what was going on or not, it was fun.
The first 45 minutes. Okay, so we have all the backstory.
So Megatron's actually bartering. He's like, bro, I'm going to do what you say, but you need to give me my bitches.
All right, hold on.
Again, before you start chewing on that, the first 45 minutes, whether I understood it or didn't, whether I liked it or not, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Boom, cow, kaplam. I went in with my brain unplugged for a little bit. From the moment the whole storyline switched to Cade Yeager and Bumblebee going to England, the second viewing, I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I've never fallen asleep any time watching these Transformers movies in the theater. Not once. And I saw the first one 8 times. And I still didn't fall asleep at the theater. That sank like a fucking rock. It completely deterred the entire... It felt like there were 3 or 4 different movies in this.
Yeah.
As soon as it went to London, it was something completely different.
And here's the thing about that. Not only did they go... They stopped that one to go to London, but we never... That whole London thing, that lasted for like 45 minutes to an hour. Like, everything else before that, whatever happened in the junkyard scene and the Decepticons coming and that fight
and
scene...
And all of them getting killed
that
off?
That ended.
Yeah.
Like, when they went
that
to London.
That was the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. The first act or whatever, first chapter of this movie. But, yeah, it was one of those
things... Again, 35 seconds. Just give me that little saint, and he switched the logos. Okay, we're in the next episode. Something. Dude, that was a completely different fucking movie as soon as it went to London.
Yeah.
Okay, where were the Dinobots?
Okay, let's talk
we
about that for a second.
We got baby Dinobots. Cool. Okay, where are the final scene? Where are they?
No, we're not going to gloss over that. No. Okay, Dinobots. I said this in the last movie. They last time we see the Dinobots, we're in China, and they scamper off into
they're
the
free,
forest.
Leave, Willy.
So in this movie, Grimlock is a
domesticated
pet, pretty much. He's eating cars, and and Cade's telling him, spit that out right now, and things like that. And there's little baby Dinobots. What the fuck is going on in this whole scene? What leads up to this? How do they get... From warriors, ancient warriors in China, to dumbass pet animals in a junkyard in wherever state
they're in. Dude, you have the Discovery Channel, bro. The T-Rex is the dominant male. Everyone else are the bitches. They need to get off. They got off. Actually, and here's another pro / con. Pro, hearkening back to the Transformers cartoons.
At least they said the word Grimlock in this movie.
Pro, even towards the cartoons, Grimlock's brain's not all there. He's not 100% developed. Transformers Animated is a great example of how Grimlock is like a 12-year-old.
Right, yeah.
But,
I get it.
But when the time comes, he'll fuck you up. So where was that fuck you up moment in the end?
It didn't even have to be at the end. It could have been when the Decepticons came into
and
the
Grimlock
city.
Came through the... And came through. Yeah, but come on, man.
And that was the underground anyways. But anyway, that's English.
I was like, man... Dude, so we did this whole Suicide Squad scene,
and
they showed us Onslaught's like, oh shit, we're getting Bruticus. No, we're getting a bunch of no name guys I've never heard of.
Mohawk
repackaged in like, okay, that dude's got Shockwave's head. Wait, is that guy a Sharkticon from the 84 movie? Wait, basically. What's up with that guy? What?
That was such a weird scene, just in general, because, first of all, I don't care what you say, Megatron is not doing any dealings with fleshlings. If you're a Transformers fan, you know that.
Yeah, but in this movie versus everyone else has.
Secondly, Megatron is going to finally submit to these humans and make a deal with them. These are the best warriors he has.
God.
Seriously?
Oh. And that goes back to...
And what was that one? He was robbing a bank? What the fuck is a Decepticon robbing a bank for?
Barricade downloaded the new Jay-Z album and suddenly he's got brass knucks and a gold chain. Dude, 444 is a sick album though, but fuck.
How'd he come back anyways? Didn't he die or anything, or did he escape? Or?
Go back to how did Megatron come back?
Yes,
and you'll find
out
how Barricade came back.
Shit.
So, dude, I almost forgot where I was going with this.
So did Michael Bay. So did the writers. So this all comes together.
No,
it's contagious. I tell you, contagious.
So again, the potential with all the fan service of all the Transformers lore, the visual of the arc of in the beginning,
right.
With like the ship with the tunnels coming out.
Right, yeah.
So
on the moon, right?
So you're giving me Contessa, right? You're bringing Megatron back to life, right? Without even explaining it,
right.
You're not going to give him some Seekers?
You know, like the movie, like the cartoon movie, give him a new armada, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, you're going to half-ass? Not even half-ass. It was like they didn't even use a cushion. Like, come on.
They didn't use a cushion. All right. That's all right. So, yeah, dude, I just couldn't get over that. That was such a weird... I like how you said that. That was the Suicide Squad scene. Yeah, it was like an intro of all these weird Decepticons we've never heard of and never will again. But
we need to debate this because you made the face earlier. This movie, for as this was technically one of the shortest Transformers movies out of the five that have been
out. This
is
a short one?
Yeah, this was one of the shortest ones.
Really?
It didn't feel like it. It felt long as fuck. The only thing that, one of the few things that kept me through, at least the first viewing, no matter if this was a Transformers movie, a Mask movie, a Visionaries movie, a ROM movie, Sir Anthony fucking Hopkins, dude. He looked like he had fun in that movie.
You mean, dude? Don't you want to know about it? Dude.
He looked like he was having fun in that movie, and I can at least pay attention to him and at least try to enjoy myself. And I'll forget, oh, hey, by the way, Optimus has only been out for 4 minutes. Hey, by the way, Hot Rod's got a French accent. Oh, hey, by the way, we're doing another chick with big breasts and a pencil in her hair trope. Yeah. Oh, wait. It's Sir Michael fucking Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins. See, I'm already forgetting. It's all blurring together. But you did cringe when his name was dropped earlier in this podcast, so you defend yourself.
I just did with the dude. Like, the whole... I cringed in the theater when he said that. Because I heard that in a trailer, that line. And I was like, oh, God, I hope it's an outtake. They just made that for the trailer and they just cut it. But no, it was in the fucking movie. And even people laughed when he said that.
And that's the part that saddened me. Because it was weird. Like, when, for example, we had this podcast before where I've told you, you know what, the new Ninja Turtles movie? The first thing you see when you walk in the theater, it says Nickelodeon Studios.
Right.
It's not aimed for you and I, the 35-year-old guys.
Right.
So you have to take that with a grain of salt. So hearing these endless sex jokes and celibacy jokes and all these dumb, stupid jokes, very few of them I actually laughed at. But for the most part, everybody in both rooms were laughing at this. So it kind of speaks to the time right now where you're already on your phone looking at your notes while I'm having this conversation, staring at your forehead instead of staring at your eyes. The attention span is gone in people.
Huh?
So you have to have wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Don't have time for shit to settle in your brain because your brain's not settling. Your brain is here to run.
Is that a defense for Michael Bay?
It's more a con against all the other dumbasses that pay to watch these movies.
I don't know.
A good movie like Baby Driver is not even going to make a fraction of what Transformers is making.
Such a good movie.
Even if Transformers 5 sinks. Because the attention span of people.
Yeah. What are we talking about again? Oh, yeah, Transformers. I just have notes on some other scenes in this movie. So
I'm done with my pros, by the way.
I was done with my pros a long time ago. There's a scene where they went underwater in a submarine.
Apparently he's a Transformer that didn't transform, and then you got a headmaster that don't hit shit.
Wait, what?
So Cogman's a headmaster who never transformed anything, and one of the guy that was with Lennox from TRF said, oh, they're in a Transformer. The submarine was an ancient Transformer.
Wait, what?
But it didn't transform into anything. It just had, like, Cybertronian GPS to lead him to the ship.
Is that how they got the... Dude,
yeah.
I was so... No, seriously, listen to me, dude.
That's why I watched it again, because I need to catch some
so
of this
stuff. I was so confused about what the hell was going on in this damn submarine, because, like, they were going on, and then they got hit by another submarine, and then the other guys were coming in, and I was like, where the fuck are they going? And what is going on in this battle? I'm glad you just told me that, because I figured if I watched it again...
You'd pick up on something.
Yeah, and... Because I was so fucking lost. And I was trying to ask, because I watched with my wife, and I was like, what happened? And she said she got it, and about how, oh, it was them coming. They were in their own submarine because they called out an SOS, whoever is local, to come shoot it down or whatever. And so I was like, okay, well, I even missed that part too. But because I don't know, I was all out of that fucking scene. Okay.
Talk to me about Hot Rod.
Hot Rod is one of my top five favorite G1 classic Transformers. Mm-hmm. And I've learned over the years that whenever they say such and such character is going to be in a Transformers movie,
your expectation for it's high.
No, my expectation is low because
track record. Okay.
Whenever they like, what's one I could say off the top of my head?
The Fallen.
Yeah,
Sentinel Prime.
Maybe. It's not that so much that they misuse them, but they just like kill them off, or they don't do anything with them that they should, you know. And for Hot Rod, when he came in, I was like, why can't I understand half the studio saying, oh, okay, he has a French accent.
Hoot Rude.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
I hate the accent. I just not know how to get rid of it.
And you laughed at that a bit.
I kind of did. Yeah.
At
least he was given screen time as opposed to half the shit that was on the screen.
I'll give you that. At least, and it's very convenient he had a time-stopping weapon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll allow it, I guess. But
was that supposed to be a nod to one of the weapons in Transformers Prime
no.
that everybody's fighting over? No. Okay.
Well, there was one, but
yeah.
Fuck you.
So I was
here. Wait, hold on. One more thing about Hot Rod. I really couldn't feel like attached or enthusiastic to see him on camera because he's so far removed from the design aspect of what I'm familiar with Hot Rod. Hot Rod is at the core a red sports car
with yellow flames on it.
If you want to get details, whatever. Yeah. He's got chrome pipes going on the side, yellow fin, whatever. At the core, he's a red sports car. Bottom line,
mm-hmm.
This he's a black Lambo, right?
He is a Lamborghini Centenario.
Okay, great. All right, so he's a black sports car with orange detailing.
Yeah,
he transforms. Yeah. He's bland. Like there wasn't anything. Made me connect with Hot Rod.
I wanted to give Hot Rod the benefit of the doubt because after seeing how beautiful Lockdown turned out as a Lamborghini in Age of Extinction, I was like, man, maybe they can do something cool with Hot Rod's robot mode. And I'm with you, man. Like it felt like something was missing. Maybe it was because of the lack of the original color. Now, if Hell freezes over and we get a Transformer 6 and somehow Hot Rod manages to stop into some paint and body and we get at least a red...
Something.
Some kind of accent to show that...
They did it with Drift. Drift changed like twice already.
Yeah. Not to mention, somebody must have heard me because I said in that podcast, the Bugatti Veyron is not a drift car. That goes from 0 to 200 in a straight line. So this movie, Drift, was actually a Mercedes SLS AMG Black Edition, which is a fucking drift car. You drift that hole until you burn the rubbers off.
You mean drift can actually drift?
Yes. And I earlier in the year, I was I took a quick trip to Los Angeles, and I went to the Peterson Auto Museum, and I got to see a Centenario firsthand. It's freaking gorgeous. It's just a shame that the drawing aspects couldn't transfer over in the robot mode. Other than, I guess, the helmet, maybe? The helmet looked kind of like an old army hat or a beret or something, the way this big like thing looked in the front on top of his forehead. And I kind of thought I kind of got that idea once they did the flashback that Bumblebee was in the war against the Nazis. And I think Hot Rod was there with him.
Oh, I don't know.
Because that was another Autobot, and the helmet, the head brothers. Sculpt looked familiar to Hot Rod's then.
They're supposed to be brothers. In one of the Transformer sites I go to, I think that was a thing that was said, was Hot Rod is supposed to be his brother. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, I think it's in the toy line, too. I think it says somewhere there. I'm not sure. That was when I went back earlier, and I said that there was some ideas, story-wise, that I thought could have been delivered really well. I think they had some specs of some good ideas that they used. Like you just said, like Bumblebee in World War II, fighting the Nazis. Things like that, okay, that's interesting. Because we said before in the last episode that, we know about the other Autobots from the first movie, but Bumblebee was already there on Earth ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what his true story arc is, mm-hmm. which apparently we're going to get that in the next movie, the Bumblebee movie, mm-hmm. which is going to be in the 80s, a nod to all the G1 fans out mm-hmm. there. And as long as Michael Bay's not involved or it's a different, whatever. I that one I'm cautiously optimistic for.
I would love the fanboy in me for the ending of that Bumblebee movie for him, for to be him ending up as that yellow bug in Uncle Bobby V's lot before he turns over into that old Camaro, like tying the whole movie together. Like you watch Bumblebee first, and then you watch the first Transformers movie, so you can remember when you see the punch buggy that Sam Witwicky's walking up to. That's actually Bumblebee.
Well, Bumblebee was already following him around in mm-hmm. As
the bug. No, it was the Camaro. He was the right. Camaro.
That's what I'm saying. He was the Camaro.
Yeah. So when they walk into the shop, when Sam's gonna buy his first car, he sees the Camaro, and right next to it, he sees the punch buggy with the yellow stripes.
Right.
I would like the movie to reference that bug being Bumblebee at the end.
Well, it can't be the end. It's got to be before the end, because he's by the end of that first, by the end of the Bumblebee movie, he's got to be that old Camaro, because mm-hmm. that's where we first see him.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've gotten off track on that. Anyway, we're nerding out on that. So, yeah. Okay. So
can't help it.
All right. So I do remember on the trailers that it kept saying it's the final chapter. Don't miss the final chapter, whatever. And I said that okay, fine. I guess it's the. I knew there's gonna be more movies out there. So I'm assuming this is the final chapter of this whole storyline they've been telling for the last, like, 3 or 4 movies, right? Mm-hmm. So how can you end the movie with Cybertron still sitting on top of Earth, mm-hmm. and then you start doing a weird end credit thing with a desert background, and then we see this chick walking...
by one of Unicron's horns.
Which, by the way, our theory was right, pretty much, because we were saying, is that, that's going to be Unicron? But a lot of people were confused about that, but I said, oh, that's Transformers Prime. Because that's the storyline in Prime. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, in case you haven't watched that yet.
Which you should.
Yeah, it's damn good.
Other than the 84 cartoons, that's probably the closest thing Transformers, in my opinion.
Well, I got Beast Wars on top of that, but whatever. But yeah, definitely, I think that's a nod to Transformers Prime. But so I didn't have a problem with that, mm-hmm. with Unicron being the core of Earth. My concern was, this is supposed to be the final chapter, but Cybertron sitting on Earth, not resolved at all, and she's walking by and she's telling people about... I guess that was Quintessa as a human, because her face morphed, whatever, so... I guess she's a pretender too, mm-hmm. right? Which went back to my other complaint that I had about, hey, you only have that one chick as a pretender in the second movie. Mm-hmm. What happened? There's got to be other ones, right? So, anyway. And another thing, if Cybertron is in Earth's atmosphere, I've seen Ultimate Doom, right? Doesn't it fuck up like...
Before you even get...
Atmospheres and...
Before you even get there, Cybertron destroyed Earth's moon. That should already be some fun.
Right?
That should already, Neil deGrasse Tyson aside, you should already know shit's supposed to be going off
but
weird.
You wouldn't know it by the movie. Yeah. Like, they didn't acknowledge that at all. And I'm no science expert. I'm not I didn't do very well in high school science. But
you saw enough episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
And Mr. Wizard.
Yeah.
I know stuff. I think
I saw The Wizard, the tournament for Mario 3.
Shut up. But I know that if you remove the moon, that's not right, because that affects waves and everything else, and tides and all that shit, right?
Mind blown. This is the prequel to the movie Geostorm.
All right, so anyway, let me see. What else do I have here in my notes? Let's see. Oh, yeah. What about satellites? Cybertron coming in? You know, you would think that would knock out all the satellites. But yet they're still communicating back and forth. Okay. See, not really. I guess this is nitpicking, but I think I have one other.
Here's my biggest. This is rivaling my biggest complaint, which was I just needed some kind of explanation of why Megatron's alive.
Which we never got.
Which we never got.
You should download the app.
Fuck the app. So, Transformers movie number one. Who kills Megatron?
Optimus. No, Sam.
Yeah. Human.
Right.
Transformers number three. Who kills Starscream?
Bumblebee?
Sam.
What?
The blaster in his the eyes.
That didn't kill him, though. Did it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bumblebee had to save them when they were falling. All right. Yeah. So, you mean to tell me, again, with all the lore.
Right.
Transformers, Unicron, Nemesis.
Right.
Hot Rod.
Right.
Hot Rod. You're telling me that the last knight is a human?
Yeah.
That can deflect a swinging sword from a Gestalt-sized transforming knight?
Yeah.
That and that, even in the first viewing, I took my nephew to see this movie the first time, and he's autistic. I don't tell him wrestling's fake. I don't tell him Christmas isn't real. Right. Easter Bunny shits chocolate eggs everywhere.
So you're not a total asshole.
I didn't want to ruin it for him. In the back of my mind, that moment was where I followed the sheeple of all the Michael Bay haters. Like, in that moment, I was like, you know what? I'm fucking glad this is the last movie Michael Bay's doing.
Theoretically.
And I'm a wrestling fan too, and I could not suspend my disbelief enough to understand that fucking Cade Yeager is the last knight.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're building up the qualities of Bumblebee. You're bringing me a brand new character that in Transformers history and cartoons takes up the mantle.
Right.
I could understand it if you were plausible enough. You did a good way of bringing up a lot of these facts. You've built up five movies as Bumblebee, as the guardian, as the protector, as he will never falter.
Mm-hmm.
Optimus has faltered more than once in this entire franchise.
Oh, yeah.
If there's anyone worthy of the Matrix, you Sentinel Prime, Optimus Prime, if there's anybody that's worthy of it, you've built up Bumblebee pretty damn well.
In these movies, yes.
In these movies. You could have given it to him. If you want to really throw a bone to the fans that have been watching the cartoons from the beginning, you could have done this for Hot Rod. But no, you're giving it to a human.
Yeah.
I couldn't defend it anymore. I love these cartoons.
Yeah,
I try to find the best in even freaking Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah.
And here was where I threw in the towel. I was like, you know what? I can't defend this. There's three pros on my list and a whole, and there are so much more cons on my list than Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah. It's justifiable. Yeah.
And it hurt. It's one thing if a movie just sucks, but when they tease you with what you can do with it.
Right.
And then they give all these pieces of a puzzle that's going to look fucking pretty when you put it together. And they're going to tell you, nah, we're going to just shake you for an hour and a half. And everything's going to be so blurry that the pieces are going to hopefully put themselves into place. And if not, well, then put your 3D glasses upside down or inside out.
And download the app.
And download the fucking... Oh, man, I couldn't, dude. This is the worst of the five Transformers movies.
Worse than Revenge of the Fallen.
Worse.
Is it because they had so much potential with this one? Because like you said, they have all these different nods and everything. They had everything.
After waking up in the final battle, which again, there were so many swerves going on in that final battle that I lost interest. I was like, fuck it. Earth's going to blow up. Fuck it. I deserve to go. I'm sitting there in the theater like Cool Hand Luke. Take this whenever you want, God. It's yours. I'm trying to give it to you. You know, I was like, fuck. I honestly don't see myself ever watching this movie again.
Yeah.
There's a good 3-minute scene of Devastator's transformation. There's a cool scene of Optimus getting brought back to life. The scene in the woods in Revenge of the Fallen with Optimus fighting all three of the Decepticons. There's stuff there that I will still watch from to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like 7 years ago. There isn't anything in this movie... I was at the museum. I'm going back to the museum in a couple of weeks. I don't need to see this Lamborghini again in a movie. I don't need to buy this movie on iTunes. I don't need to buy a cheap version on eBay. I don't need to give you some money so you can give me your copy when you decide to buy it, if you ever decide to buy it on the cheap. I don't see myself ever watching this movie. Ever. It was that bad.
There's no long-lasting redeeming qualities of this movie that makes it last, you know? There's...
For all the appreciation of Age of Extinction, I'm sorry, of Dark of the Moon,
mm-hmm.
There's very few things in there that I would go back as memorables. Like, I remember this about this movie, or I remember right. this. Dude, I'm not... Look at what's coming out next. You're telling me I need to watch Baby Driver. I'm watching Spider-Man this weekend. Mm-hmm. Atomic Blonde's coming out soon. Freaking Thor Ragnarok is coming out. Like, there's so many movies coming down the pike that by the... Dude, I just downloaded Fate of the Furious. Like, there's so many good movies that are coming out that this is going to fall so low by my radar, it's going to probably sink to the depths of Unicron.
Because Unicron is Earth.
Yeah. Like, dude. And that's why it's my that's at the lowest, because you're building that it's the end, and it's not the end.
And that's... I want to wrap my thoughts up on this movie, on this one, is... Here's my overall take on this movie. There was... My overall issue with this movie is the terrible pacing of this movie. It was so manic. Like, it was manic pacing, manic camera work, the shakiness and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just, it reminded me of Revenge of the Fallen, because there were so many like quips, one-liners and things like that, and you blink, you miss it, and there's explosions over here, mm-hmm. and things going on. Like, everything was happening so much, so at different times, different scenes, different acts of movies, all in this one thing. It was just a mess to sit down and watch it. And I don't know how you did it a second time. I don't know. I
technically didn't, because I fell asleep through half of it.
There you go. It just reminded me of a lot of the issues that I had of the actual film itself that I had with Revenge of the Fallen. I found myself reliving those mm-hmm. when I was watching this movie. I was like, God damn, this is like deja vu with some of the character interactions and the way everything was come across on the film itself during the film. So, and I didn't get that from the last two movies. The last two movies were a little bit more somber because they're reeling off of a big war, and everything was more kind of not crazy bananas.
They did a better job in Age of Extinction building a foundation with the Transformers history.
Right.
Like, they didn't go overboard. Like, the few things we got, there was a direction and they were going towards it. The reason lockdown was coming. The whole Galvatron thing going on, being produced by KSI. There wasn't a lot, but there was enough that it wouldn't go off the rails, and I don't really think it did. Like, Age of Extinction did a good job of preserving the mythos of Transformers that guys like us that grew up watching it wouldn't turn around and hate it.
Yeah.
So I think somebody said, you know what, let's give them more of that.
Yeah.
But with so much, they didn't know how to pace it all, and it just was a garbled mess.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what I said before, the writing on this movie. If they knew this was going to be the final chapter of this big saga they've been doing, why get rid of the one writer that's been responsible for the last 2.5 movies?
Mm-hmm.
Wrap this up with him. Do your standalone Bumblebee movie with the new writers to start the reboot process of whatever's going to happen with the expanded universe and this and that,
mm-hmm.
and be done with it, and finalize this one, and then start anew. Because you're already dividing the... If I'm on Facebook, they're dividing the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you either love it or you hate it, and damn you if you like it. You know, pretty much. That's how it's come across.
And the shocker of it all is, dude, the numbers don't lie.
Like, yeah, that was another thing, too.
The opening weekend box office was at, like, somewhere in the 50s?
Something like that.
It was still number one, but it was the lowest grossing weekend debut of all the five movies so far. And then we just had the second weekend come and go, and it went down 75%.
I think it opened... if I remember correctly, I just saw a chart on this today. I think Age of Extinction had a better opening weekend,
mm-hmm.
but Age of Extinction was beating Last Night in the subsequent weeks after mm-hmm. that, the weeks after. So, yeah, they're losing money on this one. It's not as profitable as... And their big hope was China. Because China is usually when they get all their money back.
Especially if you're telling them, okay, we apparently, again, this is what it was advertised. Apparently this whole movie was shot in 3D. China is all about the 3D right now. If you're making a 3D movie and it runs, like you press play and something's on the screen for 2.5 hours in 3D, you're going to make your money. And it doesn't sound like
it's doing good in China, but it's not doing the numbers that they were thinking it was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a telling phrase or telling action right there that this movie's not holding up very well. If it's already losing steam after like 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, while we're recording this.
Yeah. Dude, Despicable Me's opening weekend almost doubled.
Well, I mean, that you can't really. That's more of a broader audience. This more of a family picture where this one, even though it's a toy line, it's more geared towards. It's PG-13. I mean, it's not the same mm-hmm. audience. So, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's and plus with everything else that's come around this season and the movies, you have to put out your best picture. You know, mm-hmm. and this is another thing for Paramount too, because Paramount they needed this movie. You know, they've had a lot of flops and failures in the box office. So this is all the last 10 years. This is the one franchise that's been holding up for Paramount. So not that it's like bombing. It's not bombing. It's not a flop, but it's not
Their idea was not for this movie to break even. Right. Their idea was for this movie to be able to fund the next movie, basically.
Yeah. You know, they spent like over $7 million on marketing alone. They had like the highest marketing budget out of all the movies this year or something like that.
Wow.
$7.3 million just on marketing.
Hmm.
Because you noticed, go back to that week before it came out, there was...
everywhere.
Yeah, commercials everywhere.
Sonic.
They had a razor company.
Schick?
Yeah, Schick. The commercial, it transformed. The little mm-hmm. blade, it transformed into a robot. $7.3 million. That's what you get. So anyway, I think that's it.
Is that it?
I think so, man.
Well, hold on.
Hmm.
I told you where it ranks.
Oh, yes.
You tell me where it ranks. Your ranking was the first movie.
Right.
Then it was Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
Then it was Age of Extinction. And then it was Revenge of Fallen. Where are you putting this?
Man, it's either the bottom or right above Revenge of the Fallen. I kind of want to say it's the bottom because Revenge of the Fallen, it was bad, but they had the writer's strike against them at the time, and they were trying to do whatever they could with that.
Mm-hmm.
This one, there's no excuses for that. Right. They purposely brought in a new writing team for this picture, and they had all this material that they wanted to use, like Nemesis Prime and the Quintessons, and let's do time travel, and let's bring in Headmasters, which we don't use. Let's bring in Hot Rod. Let's like all this stuff that they could have utilized properly, or at least in a good way, and they blew it on every level.
Oh, here's a pearl I forgot. We'll try to end it on a high note.
Okay.
For the lack of Optimus, I was hoping somebody would step up.
Okay.
You know, the Bumblebee versus Optimus fight is one thing. Welker and Goodman. The fight scene in the junkyard between Hound and Megatron was actually pleasant to watch because Hound's a fat fuck that doesn't scare easily.
Right.
And Megatron's a bulldozer that isn't stopped. So watching those two fight twice, because they also fought in the last battle before Dragonstorm and the Infernicus all got decapitated. It was fun to watch those two. Like I have not seen anything I didn't like in John Goodman's movies. You know, and Megatron finally.
Oh, here's
Megatron.
Here's a high note that I'll go off on. I loved the design of Megatron in this movie.
Oh, that fighter jet?
Well, both. His robot mode and his alt mode. I thought they
like really, Viking horns almost?
Kind of, the mask. Down? Yeah. With the mask and everything. And it looked badass. And that's what Megatron needs to be, is badass. And he even had a little fusion cannon
mm-hmm.
rocking on the side, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Frank Welker knocking out the park.
You've mentioned it before. You don't buy movie toys often, but you're looking to get your hands on a Megatron
toy.
That looks
sweet, dude.
Dude, I'm in the same boat again. The Censorino, dude, that's a Walmart exclusive. The deluxe hot rod. If I find it, it's mine. I'm opening it up. yeah. Might even get a new Bumblebee just to have them both.
You know, they just released the masterpiece Bumblebee.
The movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend $60 on one.
$100.
That'll be in clearance in like 6 months. 3 months once all the Transformers stuff starts tanking. I think at Toys R Us they already have like buy one get one for $5.
I don't probably. Man, I'm seeing a lot of I can picture a lot of shelf warming material. Because the only thing that's been out
is the premiere stuff, right? Yeah, and they're out.
Well, wave one, but they're not moving. It's like they're always there. Every time I go.
Yeah.
It's all the different places.
The Robot in Disguise toy line is going a lot off the shelves actually quicker than that.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Titan Return stuff.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Conversation for
yeah,
day.
Right.
We already lost the last two people that were listening.
Yeah. All right, but I think that's gonna do it.
Wow. See, that's why I wore black today.
Well, you wanted my opinion. I didn't.
I bet, and it's funny because this is how much I like these podcasts that you and I do, whether it's wrestling or pop culture or just like sitting down hanging out, because I love to pick your fucking brain, dude. Because I've always learned something new. It's like, oh, I have found something new to bitch about.
I'm always gonna have something to bitch about. Have you met me? All right, and on that note, I think that's gonna call it a show. Thank you once again if you're still with us. And if you haven't already, we haven't really done a whole lot on social media, but we're on Facebook, facebook.com/popculturerewind. Mm-hmm. Also Twitter at...
PopCultureRWND.
Yeah. But check us out, all our audio stuff. Well, video too on YouTube. Just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. We're on YouTube. And also anywhere you get your audio downloads, audio podcasts, iTunes, whatever it may be. Just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. You'll see this episode. You'll see our past episodes. Do us a favor. Get some downloads. We definitely appreciate it.
If you have any suggestions for us,
yeah,
let us know.
We're not doing that many episodes anymore like we used to, but we're still knocking them out when we feel the need.
We have fun when we want
to.
Yeah, we have. So down the pike, soon, in the next week or two.
If it all comes together.
If it goes as planned, because the plan is we're going to have a friend of ours, or acquaintance, a well-wisher, as in we don't wish him any specific harm. Somebody from Deep in the Whores podcast.
He likes his whores.
Yeah, he likes his whores. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be breaking down the 3 Spider-Man movies from Sam Raimi.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then
the original Spider-Man trilogy.
Depending if we record the podcast before we watch the movie or after, will be whether we do a prediction or a review.
Anticipation or review
of the brand new Spider-Man Homecoming movie that's coming out.
We might gloss over the amazing Spider-Man movies, but
that won't take long.
Yeah, that won't take long at all. But that's for another episode. Yeah. So until then, always remember to pop your culture.
Feels weird not doing my little like hand signals without the camera because we're not.
Yeah, because it looks weird when you do it.
I know. Even when it's just you and me, it's like nobody else is looking. We're not on video.
Just say tools.
Yeah. No, because I forgot to do this last time.
Yeah.
Top guys, out.
I don't know what you're smoking in that pipe, man, but what's going on here? Look, somebody better start talking or I'm out of here.
Whoa, 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 okay. You keep a secret for so long, knowing it to be true, and yet deep down inside, you begin to wonder, has my life been wasted?
Look, old timer, I don't have a ton of patience for riddles right now.
Yes, but you want to know, don't you, dude? Why they keep coming here to Earth.
Da 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 da.
Do you want me to use that as the intro?
Sure, why not?
Oh, shit. Uh-oh.
What
did I do? It's what you did when you dropped the son of a bitch.
It's in the past. Let it go. What did you do just now?
Touched it. It went limp.
How's that for pre-tape? Or are we going?
Oh, yeah, I'll probably cut all this, but yeah.
Come on. Well, in that case, let me do the traditional.
It doesn't work when there's no video.
So?
It sounds like you're throwing up. There you go. That's more of a...
That's more of a... That's like more choking of, on a hairball?
That's more of an audio test right there. Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Fuck no.
Just don't fall asleep on me. We'll be all right.
Well.
All right. I don't know where you're going with that. I'm okay.
Oh, well, you gonna know. You gonna learn today.
All right.
Orchestra.
Too much New Japan for you this week.
I don't know why I went Japanese on me. Oh, fuck. Let's go home.
I'm home. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, fuck.
Get the fuck out of here. Well, that was fun.
Bye, Felicia. Mm.
Dude.
Don't you really want to know how they get here? Dude.
Oh. So bad. And when I said the audience was laughing at that scene, they weren't laughing with him. They're laughing at him.
Dude, this fucking movie reminded me that fucking Idiocracy is really becoming a documentary.
Oh, Sheik, turn on the news and see that.
Dude.
That should be the name of this episode.
I bought Dude, Where's My Car from iTunes for $4, and that movie's better paced than this movie. God.
It has a beginning, a middle, and end.
Where's the car, dude? No, and then.